Welcome to the Hooked on Fantasy Podcast with your host, Luke Sawhook.
And Hutchison Brown. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Hooked on Fantasy. I'm your host, Hutchison Brown, with your co-host, Luke Sawhook. And we've got a fantastic episode today. We're talking about a little bit of Rashee Rice news just to kick off the show. There's some updates about him and his situation. And yeah, some poor updates. And then we're going to talk about the next, we're going to talk about the top five wide receivers that we have ranked this 2024 NFL draft class, along with a sleeper or two that we're shout out, just like we did last week with the running backs. We're talking about this week with wide receivers, and we'll probably do two parts with this wide receiver class because there's just so many players.
It definitely requires a part two. It's so deep.
It definitely requires a part two. There's just too many great guys. So, I mean, like, I feel like with my top five, I feel so bad leaving some of these guys out because it's just there's so many good players in this class. So, yeah, we'll talk about top five, an extra sleeper or two, and then we'll get into the rest of the guys next week. Luke, are you ready to jump right in?
I think we should jump in. Let's start off with Rice.
Let's start with the Rice situation.
You want to go through the charges? I think you're pretty fresh on them, on top of mind. Sir?
Oh, man.
What?
Sorry. Whoa. Sorry,
are Luke. Are you lagging? Oh, he's glitching. Okay. Well, anyways, we're going to talk about the Rashee Rice charges while Hutch gets back here. It came out today that he has a lot of charges coming out from that car accident he was involved in, with some assault charges mixed in with, like fleeing the scene of his crime and intentional bodily harm and all that kind of good stuff. Not great. Not great at all. I'll pull it up here on my phone what the actual charges are. I was going to toss that to Hutch. He's been pretty educated on the subject from what I see. But you know what? No worries. Your boy will tag in here. He faces six counts per Ari Marov on Twitter. He faces, eight total counts, according to Ari. Charges in the case include six counts of collision involving bodily injury. Six of those. That's not great. One count of collision involving serious bodily injury. And then one count of aggravated assault. Aggravated assault is not great.
Am I back? Sorry, I was super glitchy for a second. I could not.
You are so back.
Okay, cool. Luke, you were so glitchy for a second. Sorry, I switched.
You're fine, dude.
I went to my phone hotspot.
I just went through the charges and what they are for Rice.
Okay, cool. Excellent. So I wanted to talk about real quick. You mentioned the aggravated assault is the one we got to point out here. Like, I was looking earlier today when this news came out, like, what exactly does aggravated assault mean? Because it feels like when I heard that, I was like, I feel like that's different than the car crash. I feel like that's a different kind of thing. And when you look at aggravated assault, what did that, like, I try to look up the exact words. And most things I saw was like, this is an intentional attack. Like, this is an intentional attack that caused somebody harm, which means that probably separate from the car crash, Rice hit somebody or attacked somebody or went after somebody. Like, this is a whole different situation that could unlock.
It is very, very no bueno. It's going to be a headache.
Yeah, this is very no bueno. This is getting worse by the day with Rashee Rice. Everything we're seeing is just getting worse and worse over time. So the concern for him is really starting to grow. And it's just concerns for him overall, even if he comes back, because if the Chiefs are looking at this guy saying, well, he just did this, he might be gone for a while. They might, like, 32 overall for the Chiefs becomes a very enticing wide receiver pick because they have Marquise Brown, they have Travis Kelce, they don't have much depth behind that. So if they were to lose Rashee Rice, it'd be really, really difficult for them to operate without another wide receiver. So I feel a Ladd McConkey or an Adonai Mitchell or, you know, Brian Thomas, someone of that nature,
if they fall,
like, one of these guys are probably going to end up in KC at pick 32.
Minor spoiler alert.
Straight up.
Like, minor spoiler alert. I'm a big Ladd McConkey guy. Huge Ladd McConkey guy.
I'm a fan.
So well. I think him on the Chiefs would be electric. But I'm awesome. Not trying to get ahead of myself. I don't know if they go receiver at 32. I think the charges with Rice and everything, I mean, charges are obviously bad right now. I think once the dust clears and everything settles down, if he's going to be, like, locked up for a while, well, then, yeah, they might draft a wideout. But if he's, you know, maybe not going to be, like, locked up for a while, he'll maybe get a few games of suspension. Like, I think they'll probably hold off on drafting a wideout. I don't know, though. We'll see. It's really good.
We might not know that by the time the draft comes around. We might not know his
suspension. Yeah, we might not. It's only a couple weeks away.
Yeah, we might not know anything. So it's really, really tough right now for the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting pick there for Kansas City at 32. But right now with Rice, for a fantasy perspective, I mean, you're holding. Probably not.
Yeah, you got it. In Dynasty, you got to hold.
Yeah. I feel like you just got to hold. If you really want to roll the dice, I guess you can buy in Dynasty, but I wouldn't advise that necessarily unless you're a high-risk player. Right now, just hold and wait on the news. I think that's the only thing you can really do right now.
Yeah, 100%. I would hold. I mean, obviously, you know, I would see what you can do with the Rice Manager, because at this point, the Rice Manager is probably freaking out like crazy. So just see what you can do, because, you know, there's probably a Rice Manager out there that'll sell him for like the 211 and like, I know this is scary,
let's say that, like, but like, what if it comes out he's going to jail for like a year and a half and you trade a second round pick for that? Like, I wouldn't want to just light a second round pick on fire.
No, absolutely. You would. That would light the second round pick on fire. 100%. Rashee Rice's career would basically be over at that point. But when you look at it, like, there is a chance we see like a 6-game suspension and then he's back and then he's
chance. That's why I said, like, if you're a high risk player, go for it. If not, just hold and don't do anything else. That's what I
would 100% agree there. You gotta be willing to take a risk if you want to buy Rashee Rice.
Yeah, dude. So you want to get into our top 5 wideouts?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it in the reverse order of last time. I'll go through my top 5 and then you'll see where these guys are ranked in yours. And then if anyone comes up who's not ranked, you know, we can kind of go handle that as things go. Or I don't hit one of your top 5. Number one, I'm
Marvin Harrison. I want to see your top 5. If anyone's in the comments out there, I want to see your top 5. I want to see what you guys think of our ranking. So throw it in there.
Please. Yeah. If anyone's in the live chat right now, we're live streaming here on my Twitter account. If anyone's out there live watching and has a top 5 they want to share, please feel free to drop it in the comments.
Drop it in.
Number one's Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, like, listen, what is there been said about this guy that hasn't been said yet? You know what I mean? Like, he's a specimen. He's a freak. He is going to be an elite wideout at the next level. It's pretty easy to project that at this point, in my opinion, unless he completely busts out for no reason. He's going to be a top 5 draft pick. I would love to see him in Arizona or New England. I would really, really hope one of those teams get him. But you say no? You don't want him in Arizona? I think that's a dream.
No, New England. New England. I would much prefer Arizona or Los Angeles compared to New England.
If people say they don't want to see him in New England, but the situations in the NFL change so fast, Hutch. Like,
oh, they do. 100%
He would go there, and even if he has terrible quarterback play, like, let's say Jacoby Brissett's their QB1 to start the year and they draft Harrison, dude, he's going to eat. He's going to be their leading target.
No, don't hear what I'm saying. Harrison will be just fine, and they'll figure out the quarterback situation eventually. He'll be just fine. I would so much rather him be playing with Kyler Murray or Justin Herbert, though. Like, it's a pretty, like I would so much rather that happen than Patriots.
Would you rather, in a rookie draft, if Marvin Harrison Jr. went to the Patriots and
Emily Neighbors went, like,
went
yeah,
to the Cardinals?
Yeah. That's an interesting debate. That's a very interesting debate, because the thing is, when you, like, Neighbors has been a player that I've slowly grown in on more and more, and he's starting to enter the tier of Marvin Harrison Jr. where he's right there.
Dude,
I would still pick Harrison, though.
I think they're 1A, 1B. I don't know. I think it would kind of depend for me. If he went to Arizona really and Harrison Jr. went to New England, I might take Neighbors. I'm not.
It's so close. Like, it is really, really close, and it comes down to the wire for me. I would likely still lean Harrison, though. The only reason I would want to take Neighbors, maybe if I had like a Herbert or Murray stack wherever he is, because that makes it a little more enticing for me to take.
Yeah, Neighbors. Yeah, for sure. I think with Marvin Harrison Jr., before we move on to the next guy here in my rankings, for fantasy football projection for him, does he get drafted top 24 depending on landing spot? If he goes to Arizona, is he drafted top 24?
Well, I mean, looking at underdog drafts, he's already like the wide receiver 16 on the board. And I mean, he's right there. Yeah, he's already right there. And once if he goes like Arizona or Los Angeles and gets paired with one of those two elite quarterbacks, forget it.
He'll be top 20 then for sure. Then
he'll be near the top 12.
If he goes to New England, do you think he still goes top 24? I think he might be on the cusp.
He'll be approaching that range, but he'll be a little bit on the outside, I think. Yeah.
Dude, that ADP is absurd, though. He hasn't even been drafted.
Wide receiver 16 hasn't been drafted. He's wide receiver 16.
That's ridiculous. I'm passing at that price tag. Like, respect.
I would pass as well, but man, I would pass as well, but it's actually close. Like, I think he's worth
it. Yeah, I mean, it is. Listen, it's close, but it's so risky at this point. You know what I mean? Like, wide receiver 16 is pretty premium draft capital, but
yeah.
You know, I'm down with the sickness. You know what I mean? It's all good with me. So I'm assuming you have Harrison Jr. number one as well.
Yeah, Harrison Jr. number one. The only thing I'll say about him, and is why Neighbors is so close for me at two, is because I've recently, you know, gone back, looked at a little bit more some analytics. Marvin Harrison Jr. is very outside wide receiver. Like, he did not play ton.
My boy, that is not a problem for me. We would love those dominant.
No. It's totally fine. But when you look at a player like Malik Nabers, who's a lot more versatile, especially when you look at the NFL today, they love to have versatile receivers you can put in the slot and put in the around it everywhere. Like, look at CeeDee Lamb in Dallas, man. They play him all over the place. They love that versatility. Amon-Ra St. Brown. And they're playing Amon-Ra St. Brown. He can play outside, play inside. Justin Jefferson, he can play inside, outside. Jamar Chase. Like, these guys can play everywhere. And Marvin Harrison Jr., like, five out of his, like, when you look at it, when you break it down, about five of his six snaps, he played on the outside compared to the slot. Like, it just, it wasn't close. So I'm concerned that he might be a lot less versatile than on Nabers, which is why I still have Harrison one, but which is why Nabers is closer than for a lot of people.
Valid. Okay, my wide receiver two is Malik Nabers. I'm assuming he's also your wide receiver two.
Yep, wide receiver two. Yep.
Okay, great. Yep, Nabers is amazing. I love how explosive he is. Yeah. He's so much fun. I've seen a little bit. I've heard whispers of Jamar Chase comps, and I don't hate it.
No, that is 100% the comp. I mean, it's funny because they went to the same school, but like, I really, like, when I heard that comp, I was like, oh, come on, you're just scouting helmets. Don't do that.
I did too. Dude, I did the exact same thing. I was like, oh my God. Oh, yeah, LSU wide receiver, LSU wide receiver. No, like, no. Dude, he's so explosive. They both share that ability to take like a slant or something to the house and just go. And I love that, especially if he got drafted to a situation like, I don't know, let's say New England trades back and they get him. I think he could benefit in a situation where the quarterback's not even that good because he has that really, really good rack ability, the yak ability. And I love that. I think he's going to be a stud. I think Harrison Jr. and Nabers, like, I would feel pretty comfortable being like, yeah, like planting the flag. I think a lot of people are like this. I'm not giving a hot take here, but planting the flag, I mean, like, these guys will be very good wide receivers in the NFL. Very good Pro Bowl or higher ceiling caliber wide receiver for both of these dudes. They're so legit. I don't have a problem at all with anyone ranking Nabers over Marvin Harrison Jr. I personally just have Marvin Harrison Jr. over Nabers because he's been that dude for the longest time. Everyone's been like, oh, Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver one. Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver one. And guess what? We're here. He's still wide receiver one. Same with Caleb Williams at quarterback. Kind of a similar thing for me. It's like, no prospect fatigue here, folks. They are dominant. They are amazing. So that's why they're my ones. But Nabers, dude, legit. I mean, he's worth a top five pick. He's the wide receiver one in like damn near every other draft class except for this one, just because Marvin Harrison Jr. exists. But dude, is there a world where Nabers goes over Marvin Harrison Jr. on draft night? You think that's a possibility? Oh,
definitely. I just ran a mock recently. I actually had Patriots taking Nabers three.
That'd be pretty interesting.
I just ran a mock where I had Nabers being taken at three. Like, there is a very real world with Nabers. I mean, you see it in all the reports and all the smoke. Like, there's a lot of worlds where, or a lot of people that are saying that Nabers is going to go over Harrison. I mean, and you look at it too, like, you know, when you look at Combine, when you look at Pro Day, like, Nabers, like, Harrison didn't compete. Nabers did in front of all these scouts and all these NFL teams. He did it for all these people, right? He put on a show too. And, you know, when you look at the film on these two guys, when you watch the look at the stats, I mean, they're really, really close, like already close. But then Nabers might have outdone Harrison when you look at, you know, combine stats and, you know, pro day stats. By Harrison not doing him, Nabers might have taken the jump. And there are some teams that will probably rank Nabers over Harrison. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that on draft day. I really wouldn't.
I mean, listen, I'm totally cool with it. Again, stud at the next level. So wide receiver three, do you have Odunze?
Oh, it's got to be Odunze. Yeah, the top three's got to be Harrison, Nabers, Odunze.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Like, why do you love him so much? I'll let you talk a little bit here.
I mean, Odunze, you know, I tweeted a while ago about him. I like him a lot. I went back and watched a little bit more. This dude is a dog. He's very, very physical. And when you watch him with the ball, without the ball in his hands, he's so physical. He's good in the run blocking game. Mm-hmm. He is just willing to just throw people around and bully people. He's that big. He's got that size to do it. And he's also got really nice footwork. I mean, it's inconsistent at times. There are times where I notice him in and out of his breaks. It's like, oh, that was not fun. But most of the time, his footwork is really, really nice for a guy his size. And he's just overall a great wide receiver one in the NFL that will dominate at every level of the field. I cannot wait to see where he goes. I mean, a lot of people have him at 9 to Chicago. I would be like not enticed by that. That would be really confusing with Allen, Moore, and Odunze there with Caleb Williams as a rookie quarterback. That would be kind of concerning.
It'd be insane crazy for Chicago though. Like, Caleb Williams, holy smokes.
It'd be absolutely insane. I would love to see him though go to the Jets at 10, which is another mocked for him. That'd be fun. With Aaron Rodgers, be the number two next to Garrett Wilson, or really the 1B option with Garrett Wilson there as the number one. That would be really, really fun. So, but Odunze, nonetheless, he is a great guy that can be a wide receiver one in the NFL.
I've heard comps of bigger Chris Olave, and I love it.
That's a really good comp. That is a really good comp. Yeah.
Yeah, he's so fun. He's going to be a really talented wide receiver at the next level as well. Really high floor on this guy. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to dominate. I'm very excited to watch him. I would love to see him be like in a 1B kind of situation. I think he would feast like alongside of Garrett Wilson. That'd be really fun. I would love to see something like that work out. Very interested to see where he lands. I think there's a decent range on his draft capital in the first round. He could go anywhere. I could see him
falling in the 10s, but I could also go like top 10. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe like that 10 to 18 range somewhere in there. Like I'm interested to see where he falls. Going to be some really good draft capital. I think, honestly,
I could see six to the Giants. If Harrison Ayers are gone, I could see six to the Giants. Like it really could happen. If those two, if they're already gone,
that'd be crazy. Marvin Harrison Jr., Neighbors, Adunze run would be insane.
It would be absolutely ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be ridiculous. All right. Well, we're staying so far, going to wide receiver four, I have Brian Thomas Jr.
You're Brian Thomas. I have Xavier Worthy.
Okay. And that's totally fine. That is valid. I love Worthy. I have Brian Thomas Jr. Let me make this short and sweet for you. The man is 6'3, 209 pounds, and ran a 4.33. The man is an athletic specimen. He's a freak of nature, touchdown machine at LSU. Like, this guy has an extremely high ceiling, and I love that. The floor is a little questionable, but the ceiling is so juicy and tantalizing. And I think this guy, if he goes to the right landing spot where he would have time to kind of be like a 1B, you know, like let's say a Jets picked him up, it would be amazing. If a Chiefs picked him up at 32, if he was able to be selected there, dude. Insanity. The ceiling is so high for him, and that's what separates him over some of the other guys I have below him. But I love Brian Thomas. Where is he in your rankings? Is he in your top five?
He's number five. Yeah, he's number five, right behind Worthy. I like him a lot for all the reasons you said. Obviously, he was great. There's a couple things I am concerned about. One thing I don't love the way – this is a small thing, but the way he catches the ball concerns me. I didn't see a lot of outside the body catches. I saw a lot of bringing it in the basket, which is not fun. If he does that a lot in the NFL, he's going to get in trouble doing that. And also I see some footwork issues when it comes to breaking in and out of his routes. I see a lot of extra steps taken that are not necessary. And in the NFL, if he gets shut down with that, that's not also.
No, I absolutely agree with you. He needs more polish, but he has an insane athletic ceiling. But I love that.
Athletic ability is just insane. I mean, it's very similar to another receiver we might talk about later, Adonai Mitchell. Like the dude, like very, very big, very fast, but just not polished at all. There's a lot of problems in this game. But I see Brian Thomas as a really good wide receiver. He's in my number five. But I want to talk about Worthy at four. I mean, dude is just crazy. You know, when you look at his size and his speed, you're like, oh, he's just a speedster. No, he's not. I mean, this dude is legit a wide receiver one. I mean, he just dominated every level of the field. He can work downfield. He can work intermediate. He can work short. He is a beyond elite route runner. I mean, the blue guys, think you posted earlier today about his hip fluidity in his route, that one route in the red zone. It's just unbelievable.
That play I was highlighting is it was a little whip route on the goal line. Uh-huh. It was a hard cut in. Stop, turn. It was so fluid,
it was just so nasty.
I don't think any DB or not any DB. I think very, very few DBs can guard that at the next level with his.
No, nobody. No. There's nobody that can guard that. He's too fast and he's too quick too. Because there's so much, so twitchy.
Like I love it.
Because there's fast and there's quick and twitchy, and they're two different things. He is both. He is absolutely both, and he also has the footwork to do to work with it as well. The only concern about him is literally with Worthy.
John Ross ruined really fast receiver prospects for the foreseeable future. Because, dude, these really fast wideouts who are like first round caliber have been pretty good. J-Mo's had a weird start to his career.
I was about to bring up J-Mo. Not yet.
Listen, here are the question marks. The fast ones. You got J-Mo. You got Ross, and you got Ruggs. Ruggs was good, though. People don't remember. He's an idiot, obviously. He did a terrible thing, and now he's in prison. But when he was playing with the Raiders, he was really good. He was very talented. I liked Henry Ruggs a lot when he was still an active player in the NFL. But other fast guys who have been fantastic coming out, like Jalen Waddle. Dude, like, there are some great speedsters in the NFL who have been coming out recently, and I think that we could see Worthy be the next one. I'm very excited for the skill set he brings to the table, and I think he could be an elite fantasy asset if he goes to the right landing spot.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he doesn't just bring speed to the table. I mean, he brings so many other things. Yep. He brings the route running, the footwork, and this ability to get open, especially in zone too. When you look at his numbers in zone, when you watch him in zone, he knows how to find a hole and get open. Like, he's not just a man-on-man route runner. He's somebody that can find holes in zone and get open for his receiver. I mean, he was the wide receiver one over Donnie Mitchell in Texas. I mean, wasn't even close. He was the wide receiver one. It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And the only thing that Mitchell did was score touchdowns better than him, but everything else, it was worthy all the way.
And I want that at the next level. You know what I mean? I want the guy to consistently get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. I just did a mock recently. I had a mock to Jacksonville as a new wide receiver one.
That'd be nice.
You know, with Trevor Lawrence. I feel like that'd be really interesting because you got Christian Kirk there, you know, a very solid wide receiver presence, especially in the short intermediate areas. You have Evan Ingram, and they just signed Gabe Davis, so who cares? But Xavier Worthy would be like the new Calvin Ridley for their offense, where he's that wide receiver one that can play downfield, work on the outside, and just dominate in those areas of the field. But I'm like, Worthy is somebody that people want to look at and just say, oh, he's too small. Just stop. Like, if this dude was like 180, 190, he would be considered like a top 10-ish pick in the draft. Not even close. Like, he would be considered around that top five range. Honestly, he would be mocked around that range.
Yep.
But he's a little bit small. But NFL coaches nowadays are more and more willing to use these guys and find ways to get them in space, get them the ball, and let them make plays. I mean, we've just highlighted, you know, Jalen Waddle, some great players that are just speedsters. You know, Keaton Mitchell lately too, and Devon Achane, and these two running backs, different position, but these two guys have done great work in their rookie seasons. I'm expecting the same thing for Worthy. I'm really hoping for a first round pick. I think the 421 got him there. I think they got him. I think the 421 got him there, but I think it will.
I think the NFL GMs will be hard pressed to pass on this guy in the first round with that speed. Get that fifth year option on him. I think he will want it for sure. So he was my honorable mention. And I love him. I absolutely adore Worthy. I love all six of these guys actually. But my fifth wide receiver, who I hinted at earlier, is McConkey, dude. I'm a lad McConkey. I love him, dude. He's so much fun. He's so fluid. He is so fluid. I love it. It gives me flashbacks to my boy Amon-Ra St. Brown in the sense of a slot guy, right? He was a slot guy coming out. Amon-Ra was. He didn't play on the outside much. McConkey, slot guy. I'm not scared of slot guys. I think in the modern day NFL, we were mentioning it earlier, Hutch, these elite slot guys can play a lot bigger roles in offense.
Yeah, they can make.
And I think Ladd McConkey, a lot of the reason people aren't as hot on him is because he wasn't that productive in college, because he was on Georgia teams with absolute stud muffins and NFL prospects, you know, like Brock Bowers, other fantastic wideouts. I think that he's a guy who is going to be a better NFL player than he was a college player. And I think he's going to translate great to the NFL. I think he has a great skill set. I think he has one of the highest floors in this draft class outside of the super, super top guys. He is legitimate. And I think he's going to be an instant impact guy in the NFL. A big battle with these rookie wide receivers too, especially from a fantasy football perspective, is it's going to be hard for them to get on the field and stay on the field consistently in their early days of their careers. I think Ladd McConkey is going to be a guy who, by the time training camp's over, preseason's over, this guy's going to be an everyday starter pretty much immediately. And that's what I really like about McConkey. I think he's a guy who has a super, super high floor. He's going to get volume from day one. And I think he has a very high ceiling as well. I see this guy being a potential target machine at the next level. I love McConkey. I think he has a great ceiling and extremely high floor. That's why I prefer him over Worthy and some other guys just a little bit, because I think the floor is just so high that I absolutely adore it. But I still love all the other guys I have below him just because of their upside's so good. But McConkey, dude, I just love it. Like, the film is amazing. It's so buttery smooth, in and out of breaks. Amazing footwork and technique. Like, I think he's going to be a fantastic pro.
Yeah, I honestly really like McConkey too. He didn't make my top five or the honorable mention for six, but he's definitely right there in that range, you know, in that top six, seven range for me as well. I mean, when you look at him as a player, I want to point out, you know, you mentioned he's not really productive, and he wasn't really productive in college. Not only did he have to play around a lot of studs, like you mentioned, Brock Bowers and some others, but he was also on a team that won two national championships and just dominated so many teams to the point where they're not passing in the fourth quarter or third quarter. Like, they're running the football the entire time. So he basically was on the bench for like the fourth quarter because he wasn't playing. They weren't throwing the ball. It didn't matter. So it's really hard to get tons and tons of production in the offense when you're dominating so much and running the football at a heavy rate. And even when you look at their passing numbers, sometimes like they just dominate so much in games that they didn't throw the ball a ton in a lot of games. So looking towards, you know, him as a player in the NFL, I'm really looking for that first round pick because his footwork is insane. I agree with you, Luke, that he could be a really quick guy to get in the NFL, get on the field fast, because he's just going to be a quarterback's best friend. He gets open really quickly. He's a great route runner. He's so quick on his feet, and he's fast too. He can make yards off the catch.
Dude, he ran a 4.39 40. He's no Hunter Renfrow.
He's so fast. This guy is
a twitched up athlete too. He's not just a little, you know, he's not your average little slot guy who can just run good routes. Like, no, he's an athlete, dude. I think he's going to be legitimate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I see a world where he becomes like a slot wide receiver and doesn't make like a little slot guy and doesn't make a ton of impact in the NFL. He'd be becoming.
How dare you?
I mean,
I'm kidding.
I mean, becoming
that's the floor.
I mean, that's around his floor, becoming like a solid slot guy. Nothing crazy, but like, you know, but he makes an impact for an NFL team. But his ceiling is like somebody like you mentioned, like one of these new slot receivers that make massive impacts for a team. I mean, like some of these guys out here that can work in the slot, work outside, work all over the place, and just make a really, really big impact. I think Ladd McConkey has that upside. So I'm really hoping for first round capital. That would supplant that the NFL, I mean, cement the fact that the NFL really does believe in him.
You get me a little hot and bothered when you mentioned McConkey to KC.
Yeah, McConkey to KC would be kind of awesome. That would be pretty electric. Sweet. That'd be sweet for his value. I mean, also like Buffalo. You bring up Buffalo. I mean,
that'd be fun.
Insane. That would be absolutely insane.
I already feel like they used Dalton Kincaid like the Ladd McConkey, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair. They do. They already have that slot. Yeah, they need more of an outside presence anyway. They need more of someone like an Xavier Worthy on the outside, or maybe even a big boy like Mitchell or
man. Worthy Ryan would be Thomas. So much fun in Buffalo. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, he's my honorable mention. I wanted to shout out real quick just to wrap up the show. I know we got to wrap up here. Please. My honorable mention of Donnie Mitchell. Here's the thing. I think he is extremely talented. He is a really talented kid. He can work downfield. He can work all over the place. I like his route running. I think he's got really solid routes. He's fast. I mean, we saw it on the 40 time, and he's big. He's physical. He can make those catches downfield, but a couple problems. His yards after catch ability is absolutely terrible. I mean, when you look at the numbers, when you watch the film, so you don't see it, he has the speed. If you get him in space, he can run, but he never breaks a tackle. Like, I don't remember a single time on film where I was like, oh, he broke that tackle. Like, I don't remember. Yeah, I really don't. He just doesn't break tackles at all. And I mean, like, when you look at his yards after catch numbers, he's in an own tier of his own as like the worst in this class. It's not even close. Right. Like, it's awful. His yards after catch ability. And I think personally, because when you look at too, his you know, not ability, but his lack of effort on routes, his lack of effort on route running, his lack of effort with the ball just sails up. Sometimes he gives up. I think his tackle breaking is more of an effort thing rather than a talent thing. I think he's got the size and the physicality to do it. Yeah, I think he really, really does. Because when he makes those contested catches on the field, it's like, oh shoot, this guy's a man. He's a man out there on the field. But then you see him get tackled, and it's like,
he's a man.
He's not a man. Like, when you look see him get tackled, it's like, he's not a man out there. What are you doing?
He plays a little softer than his size.
He does. He really does.
Yeah.
I think it's an effort problem, though. I think if the NFL were to be able to work out his effort issue on routes and on that, I think he could be an extremely talented
guy. Dude, that's honestly why I don't have him in my top five of my honorable mentions, because effort's not really there, and I feel like he's not very – he gives me similar vibes, like you mentioned earlier with Brian Thomas, you know, like not as polished as a route runner and things like that. But Thomas is just so much like more like torqued up version, right? I just prefer some of the other floors that these guys have. And I think Worthy's ceiling is higher. That's why he's my honorable mention. But I agree, like Mitchell has great potential. It's just a matter of him putting it all together and really like honing in on the skill sets. I think coaching will be really important for him at the next level.
100%. Yeah, he needs to put in some effort. That's what he needs to do. And I'm hoping the NFL, once he kicks into that gear, it's like, okay, I got to do this now. I really hope he does that. But otherwise, he's going to be a major bust. He's going to be a major bust.
Yeah, man. So to recap my top five here, and then Hutch, you do the same, obviously. I got Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver 1, Malik Nabers, wide receiver 2, Rome Odunze, wide receiver 3, Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver 4, Ladd McConkey, wide receiver 5, and then my honorable mention, Xavier Worthy. There's so many other wide receivers I really like in this draft class. As Hutch mentioned, we'll get into a part 2 next week. Very excited about that. Hutch, who are your top 5 here before we close out?
So my top 5 here, I'm looking at Marvin Harrison Jr. number 1, Malik Nabers number 2, I got Rome Odunze number 3, number 3, Xavier Worthy as my 4th, Adonai Mitchell as, Brian Thomas is my 5th, And Donnie Mitchell as my shout out number six.
Shout out. We love that. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Hooked on Fantasy Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Luke Sog, joined as always by Hutchinson Brown. We'll be back next week. We're actually changing times and days. Well, not time, days, everybody, with my baseball schedule kicking in full time. It's going to be a hectic schedule for me, so we have to move to Monday nights. Should be live at the same time, 9 p.m., but play by ear over on my and Hutch's Twitter accounts. We'll give you guys updates as to when the show's going live. But episodes will be brought to you every single week, as always. But thank you guys so much for listening and watching live. Really appreciate it. Hutch, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. See y'all next week.